Is a global realignment the real story in the Ukraine crisis now? That is the question as Western leaders peruse the details in an agreement between Russia and China that would supply natural gas to China's growing economy for 30 years while giving Russia $400 billion worth of economic security to take the sting out of economic sanctions from the West. Has the Ukraine crisis revealed something bigger going on than just Crimea and eastern Ukraine? Is Europe's dependence on Russian energy suddenly a vulnerability? 70% for Germany, 100% for the Baltic nations, all members of NATO, by the way, and all being forced now to think about alternatives to Russian energy. Catherine Stoner is a senior fellow at the Freeman Spogli Institute for International Studies at Stanford University, the author of Resisting the State, Reform and Retrenchment in Post-Soviet Russia. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
So, Catherine Stoner, you are on record saying that by almost any measure, Russia is not a great economic power. I'm wondering, does this deal with China change that calculation in any way? Are China and Russia greater than the sum of the parts here?
No, I don't think so. Russia's not approaching China in terms of growth rate, at least not anymore. And this deal was in the works for a long time and a rather desperate necessity for Russia, as we start seeing European gas markets in particular stagnate. So I don't really think this significantly changes Russia's economic position for sure.
Does it change Germany's economic position in the sense that they really need alternatives if they're going to participate fully in the sanctions regime against Russia?
Germany's about 35% of Germany's gas comes from Russia. It could be that they switch suppliers. That's actually possible with natural gas, although there are a lot of sunk costs in pipelines that Germany has participated in building from Russia to Germany. But there are alternative suppliers. Germany's the biggest importer of Russian oil, but it doesn't get all of its oil from Russia either. So Norway is another alternative. And there, you know, there are other possibilities in terms of suppliers. I think although Germany is obviously vulnerable to Russia, Russia is vulnerable to Europe as well, because it doesn't really make anything domestically. And Russian consumers have become accustomed to being able to get high quality European goods. So that's I think the dependence runs both ways. It's interdependence, really.
And let's talk a little bit about Vladimir Putin's longstanding interest in creating some sort of Eurasian, confederation.
He calls it the Eurasian Union.
Right. And he talked a lot about, you know, incorporating Ukraine into that. But I'm wondering if his vision does involve a closer cooperation with China on a whole range of issues besides energy.
You know, Russia and China, of course, have had a historically fraught relationship, and China could solve a lot of problems for Russia, but Russia appears unwilling to really allow it to do that. So one issue is, you know, the Chinese have a lot of labor, and Russia's population has been declining and now sort of holding steady over the last 10 years or so. So China could actually send a lot of laborers over to do jobs that Russians don't want to do in construction and so forth, or can't do. They just don't have the manpower to do it. But the Russians are not particularly welcoming of migration from China to solve that issue. And I think there are a whole bunch of reasons as to why that's the case. For sure, it's a concern about, you know, ethnic Russians still being dominant within their own country. It's also kind of a suspicion of foreigners working in the country. There's hesitancy there. There is a lot of trade. Russia obviously imports a lot from China because beyond oil and gas and vodka and caviar, Russia doesn't make a whole heck of a lot that's valuable on international markets or particularly useful. At least they don't yet. They're trying. So China imports a lot of things or exports a lot of things that Russia needs and just doesn't have. So it's a very, very important trade relationship, probably the most important trade relationship for Russia, for sure.
Well, that suggests then that Vladimir Putin, in trying to get some sort of cushion in dealing with Russian sanctions by making this deal with China, has actually, over the long haul, actually set himself up to being squeezed by both China and the West, in that China has gained a lot of leverage here. This is a deal that works much better for China than for Russia over the long haul.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually. You know, when you have an economy that is dependent or so very, very dependent on one or two things, you're naturally vulnerable. It happens to be particularly oil and gas are very valuable commodities, of course, right now, but they're also volatile, oil in particular. So the economy is vulnerable in that respect. And then to have, you know, your markets in one or two big areas makes you further vulnerable. So, you know, it runs both ways. When oil prices are high, the Russians are sitting pretty. But when oil prices dip, as they did in the 1990s, to about $17 a barrel, then, you know, they go into economic crisis. China also can get gas from other places and has been. So this gas deal was long in the making and isn't directly tied at all to the sanctions or the Ukraine crisis. But more that Russia was getting concerned, it needs new markets because the European market is stagnating, and the Central Asians are selling gas to the Chinese at low prices.
Want to venture a guess on what price of oil beyond which, below which, all bets are off for Putin's domestic political stability?
Yeah, so he needs the price of oil per barrel to be about $120 to keep the budget in balance.
We'll definitely watch that number, $120 a barrel. Catherine Stoner, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Catherine Stoner is a senior fellow at the Freeman Spogli Institute for International Studies at Stanford University and author of Resisting the State, Reform and Retrenchment in Post-Soviet Russia.